Yes, hooray, I'm back and I'm on. Thank you, Sean. Oops, I'm a little bit far away there. Still trying to get used to this setup I have. I've gotten all of my equipment in a different room now. We took it all apart this morning and put it all back together, and I did have a little bit of an issue with the channels and stuff like that, and I just had to go over everything and found out that there was two connections that weren't totally tight. But I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal on peoplesinternetradio.com. And it's good to be in a different studio type thing, although it's a different room in the same house, but it's still different. Still going to be a little bit different, and still hopefully won't have any bugs. Thanks, Slim. It's early evening over here, just past 7 p.m. And sorry I didn't take the radio right at midnight there, right at 7 p.m. Eastern time here. I was doing some last-minute things, and I didn't see the radio being dropped. So there was a couple of the loop songs going on there. But, well, I've got a bit of an improv show tonight. I thought I'd talk about a couple things and then maybe run some tunes. Maybe run some requests from the chat room. Yes, I've got a little bit more room here now. I was kind of stuffed in my other room there, Carrots. But I've got some more room. I've got everything all set back up and all running on a top shelf, as they might say. But I had a conversation earlier on this evening, earlier on in the afternoon for me, and it was just after 8 p.m. over there in Ireland. I called Billy McGuire. I called him on my Skype there. I have the type of account where I can call all over the world, but it's actually free over there in the UK. So Ireland and Scotland and the UK is all free. I tried to call Billy last Sunday, but there was some sort of an issue. It was either with Skype or with his cell service. That's all he has now. It's just a cell phone. They've taken his broadband away from him, and they've taken his home phone away from him. So all he has is a cell phone for communications and that. But last Sunday, I tried to get him on the show. I called him twice last week, and we were all set up for 8 p.m. Irish time, 3 p.m. Eastern, to be on my other network. And I called, and something picked up, but there wasn't anything on the other end of the line. So I I hung up that call and I tried again. And it didn't even pick up that time. It just went right to a voicemail. But, well, when I talked to Billy today, he said he picked that call up right at 8 p.m. Irish time, and he could hear me, but I wasn't hearing him. So there was some sort of an issue. I don't know whether somebody was buggering around with his phone or buggering around with the Skype call or what. But he could hear me, but I couldn't hear him. Anyways, we're going to try it again this Sunday, and I'm going to try to get him on and try to get some of the issues on air over here in America, what Billy and everyone else is dealing with over there in Ireland. Issues with the Crown and the British government. So, anyways, that's one issue. I hope we can get on the air this Sunday, and then I will, more than likely, if I do have him on, I will play the repeat on the midnight show. Anyways, I'm going to put a little tune on there and say if anybody would like to come on air and talk about anything that they have on their mind. I will put my Skype info in the chat there for everyone that's signed into the chat. But I got to find out what my Skype number is, and give that out also. I know I keep forgetting to write that down and give it out. But anyways, we'll be right back here in just a few minutes, everyone. I just had to come back on mic there. I guess I'm going to say a few more things here, play a few tunes, and say a few things maybe. I think you're right there, Joan. A big part of the problem we face is that we perpetuate a blame culture. That has a lot of merit, I think. I think for government and for people that are in control, that is so very true. It's so easy to blame one side or the other than what it is to try to blame the one in the mirror. Whether it's a man or a woman in the mirror that's in government, that are in control, you want to blame it on your opponent. And that's what politicians do. That seems to be the standard operating procedure. Sorry, I got a bit of a stuffed up head here, but it's so easy for them to blame their opposing side than to blame the system itself. They always have blame for the other side, so they can try to get your vote. That's all what it boils down to, is getting your vote. I know many, many years ago here in America, these people that are in control passed a law on the books, and the president signed it, that said they were the only ones that could benefit from insider training, insider information. Anyone else that tries to benefit from insider training, insider information, thank you, Sean, they get arrested and they get prosecuted for so-called fraud or theft or whatever they get prosecuted for. But they are left alone. Quite hypocritical, indeed, but they are left alone. I remember it was just a few years ago that Hillary Clinton said, she asked what the big fuss was, because she profited on insider information, insider trading. And she said it was, I'm trying to think of the words there. She said it was soft criminality, maybe, or something to that effect. It was tame, or something to that effect. It wasn't really serious, she said. She tried to blow off the fact that she made lots of money off of some sort of insider trade that more than likely dealt with her and her husband. But, you know, it's just a pattern, so to speak. They put a label of tame, or not actually hurting anyone, probably, on that sort of a crime. You know, it's kind of like, who cares about the four Navy SEALs that died in that embassy takeover in Benghazi? Who really cares when she got up in front of the Congress and testified? You know, who cares? That was her mantra. That was her little catchphrase at the time. Who really cares? They're just terrorists. They're just boogeymen anyways. And Ambassador Stevens, who really cares? But anyways, I just keep wondering, day in and day out, what it's going to take to get through to people, to get through this illusion of a left-right paradigm. Nobody ever told me it was going to be easy, but anyways, I'm going to roll on with another. I got another Limp Bizkit song here that I like, and I'm going to put that one on. So I'll be right back in a few minutes, everyone. And I'm back on the mic here after a couple songs there, a couple of Tom Petty songs. I am in a good mood, Sean. Thank you. And this is the way it should be on the radio. Shouldn't be all sourpuss all the time. Shouldn't be all up in people's faces or anything like that, or trying to expose every single thing that there is, because, well, a lot of people are scared out there. A lot of people are afraid. As I mentioned earlier, I had a little 20-minute chat with Billy McGuire earlier on this afternoon, and we mentioned, you know, we talked about a few things. We talked about the seal. We talked about turning of the seal, the Constitution. I happened to mention to Billy that the American Constitution doesn't apply to the American people, and he knew that all too well. And as he knows a lot of things, but yeah, I hope we can talk about solutions and stuff like that. I just got a PM from somebody there, so I think I'll play that next, see what happens. Said I will piss myself. All right, we'll have to see. Anyways, we talked about one particular issue, and that was being official, being authentic, or something to those words, to that effect, official. I mentioned to Billy, you know, they can scribble with ink on paper and place their stamp upon it, and it will miraculously be official. Even if it's a lie, it's still official if the PM comes out there, or the president, or whoever the case is, the king of Saudi Arabia, or the prime minister of England, or somebody in the Irish parliament, if they come out in front of a camera and spew out crap out of their mouth, which all of us know are nothing but lies, it still becomes official to the people that are unaware, the people that are don't realize that their best interests are not being sought after by government. They can somehow come out in front of the cameras and in front of the repeaters and tell a lie, and it somehow becomes official. Like there's a special stamp or something they have in their hand, and they drop it on the table on this piece of paper, and the stamp has ink on it, and it says official. If it's a lie, they can make it official somehow, miraculously. But for the most part, most of us know that even if it's official, it's still a lie. So I'm going to take another little break here and play a couple of other songs and gather some more thoughts. This one is for Slim. Slim Boy. He said I'll piss myself, so here we go. Okay, I thought I would come on and explain there. That's the official Queen YouTube channel there, and for some reason they put up about 4 seconds of silence before the song comes on there. So my apologies there. I am going to go on to a different, I'm just going to be playing some songs that I've always liked. I kind of grew up on Queen and a few other bands there. So I like a lot of their songs. One of my favorite bands. It's just an uplift me type of day here. Going back to a better time for me anyways. Back to a better age where I could have more fun and did have more fun. Introduce the tunes. Yeah, I could do that. I could wait on them and kind of pause them, Sean. Yeah. But anyways, I'm going to continue on unless somebody wants to come on to say anything. And they're more than welcome to. All right, I'm going to go to... I'm going to go to a song from when I was a teenager. It first came out. I know it's a silly song, but I still like it anyways. No, I'm going to play that later, I think. I'll put this one on. All right, welcome back after that song of Simple Minds there, Life in a Day, for Patrick there. It looks like I'm going to have a call-in guest. I'm just going to instead of playing a YouTube song, I'm going to put a song in the SAM player there so I can bring my guest in and talk to him for a minute or so while nobody hears us. So we're back here in just a few minutes after going to have a call-in guest. So stay tuned, everyone. Be right back again. All right, welcome back, everyone. I decided to cut that song off a little bit early. It was too long of a song, about 5.5 minutes, and it still had 2.5 minutes left. So I wanted to get back on air, and I got a call-in guest. Everyone, welcome Slim Boy, or Patrick. Hi, Slim.
Hi, Stephen. How are you, mate?
How are you this evening?
Yeah, good. I'm enjoying the tunes. Cheers for playing a few of mine there.
Yeah. That's all right.
Did you laugh at that Clark and Dowie, their little rip in the Banks piss take?
Hey, yeah. It's always good to break up the atmosphere with something a little different.
Yeah, I love their stuff. There's so much. Have you looked at much of their stuff, Stephen?
No, that's the first one I've heard.
Have a little look through them, and you might want to play a few of them. They're absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I'll have to do that.
They've got one. I don't spoil it too much for you, but they got one about the front falling off a boat. And I said, "Well, how did that happen?" She said, "Well, it wasn't supposed to happen, and it just got. It's hilarious." I let you look. The front fell off. I think it's called.
Right. There was some other sort of. I don't know. It was some maybe an evening show or something. It's been over a year now that I heard it. Somebody played it on air, and then I got the link and I played it and listened to it myself. It was sort of younger people. They were all around a table in that, and they would always talk about issues and stuff like that, and they would kind of ask this one young man what he had to say, and he always had some kind of a comical spin on everyday events. And I wish I could find that whole entire thing again, because those were good. A few that I watched, I never did save any of them, although I should have. Do you happen to know what I'm talking about or anything? A young blonde-haired man or?
Young blonde hair. Is it your side of the water, American, is it?
No. It was over there somewhere.
Oh, right. I don't know whether Sean or anyone else on the chat knows it. A young blonde-haired bloke.
I think so, yeah. Or maybe a little bit of a ginger, but somewhere in that area, yeah.
No, that's not come. It's not registering.
Well, anyways, what's on your mind tonight?
I just thought I'd just phone in, Stephen, have a bit of banter. I was just thinking about, you know, like you said, you remember Queen from your boyhood, well, when you were younger and stuff. And
yes.
Yeah, just sort of things come to mind of things I did when I was a kid. We used to make trolleys out of, you know, like your big baby prams. You'd have the big wheels and the small ones.
Right.
And then we'd often put the big wheels on the back, smaller wheels on the front, and we'd just make up like a T-frame type thing with a bolt through for steering with our feet and a rope. And we used to make trolleys. You know, such simple stuff, Stephen.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun with it, you know.
Yeah.
Climbing trees, scrumping, you know, that's the term for going into an orchard, you know, taking apples.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah.
There's apple groves around here. There's cherry groves. There's grape groves. All types of fruit groves around here, around my area.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, all right, we could say it was theft or out of order, but God, when we realized the world we live in, it was nothing, was it?
Yeah. And do you know what, Patrick, over here in my area, I'm not sure about the entire country, but there are some fruit groves over here, and people get arrested and prosecuted for taking fruit off the ground that have fallen off the trees, whether it be, you know, cherries or apples or anything like that. Even if they just recently fallen off, it's just crazy over here. You just can't do the same thing.
It's just, well, you... it wasn't real, you'd say you couldn't make it up. You know,
exactly.
That type of,
yeah.
So, you know, what? Who owns it? You know, it's on the ground. It's on
right.
Earth.
Right.
the world is crazy, Stephen, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Scrumping, you just happened to mention that a minute ago. There was a golf course near my area that I used to go to as a young man to play. And there were apple trees all up and through the entire course. They were a bit of a hazard, you know, but if you happen to be a little stray with your ball after you hit it, you might be in the apple trees and you might have trouble getting out. But we used to take apples right off the tree all the time, and now they just don't allow that kind of stuff anymore.
No, I mean, yeah, when you think, Steve, what we talk, I mean, I was born in the 60s, 1960, so I'm like 56, you know, and if I go back, what, my young days, you know, it's a long old while, it's 40-odd years, you know, but
yeah,
in 40 years, what a mad world. I mean, the 70s, to me, were fairly good, and I think the 80s seemed quite good, but what's happened after that?
It's
pure madness. It's,
yeah. I'll be 52 in 10 days, actually, so I'm not too far away from you there, Patrick.
It's 4 years. 4 years difference. Yeah, it's not nothing, is it? Yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy world. I think we just have to try, and I don't know, like Sean's guest. Well, no, he's played that pod just before your show. Were you listening?
I wasn't. I was still scrambling trying to get all this stuff set up here on the
right.
Computer stuff.
He had a guest on there. Brilliant. Just basically try to say, well, we've got a fire love back on, I'm afraid, Stephen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just off and all energy in it, I suppose. Try to put into negativity and, you know, I don't know. We'll just talk about fun days. Yeah, we used to do some funny things. We used to, curbs of the road, we used to play Kirby, as we called it. So you got your footpath, Stephen, yeah, either side, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so you got your road.
Yeah.
You just bounced the ball off the curb. You had to hit it on the curb so it would bounce back to you.
Okay.
And obviously, if you missed, then it'd go to the next person.
Sure.
Quite good fun.
Sure.
Oh, loads of stuff. I mean, playing football on greens. You know, all your usual fun things. And it's like, I don't know whether you'd agree, Stephen. I mean, I'm not anti-technology, but all the youngsters just seem to want to be on their phones. You know?
Yes. Yes. I tell everybody the first computers really started coming out in the homes about 10 years after I got out of school, and I never really got my first computer until 2008, actually, Patrick.
All right.
I had heard all the stories for many, many years how intrusive computers were going to be and how much they were going to collect our data, and they were just going to spy on us and yada, yada, yada. And, well, it all turned out to be true, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like, I hope they're enjoying this conversation now. But
yeah,
if they're that, I mean, all we're sending out is positivity, ain't we? I mean, like a lot of people say, well, the way I look at it, the control system's more scared of us. It's like a little school bully, you know. It's or I've got to have my apple, and I have to have another apple because, oh, if I don't have another apple, you know, what am I going to do? You know, it's me.
Uh-huh.
What a sad way to be. I think you have to be sorry for them, to be honest, Stephen.
Yeah. It looks like Jones still plays Kirby in the summertime.
Yeah, I just noticed that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think Sean did it. See, Sean, obviously, he's basically Irish. It doesn't matter. We're all one. Nationalities and all that can divide us, doesn't it? But, all right.
It's just a label.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be proud of our nationality to a degree, Stephen. We're not going to kill each other over it.
Yeah, I don't really want to go to war over a flag being burnt or something like that, or you know, some silly little thing. I don't pledge allegiance to a flag anymore. They used to make us do that, and it just seems silly now.
Yeah, it's
if I want to pledge anything, I'll pledge to my country, or a pledge to my people or whatever. Pledge to the people over there in Ireland before I'll pledge to a flag here in America.
Especially if it's got a gold fringe around it.
Yes.
It's amazing how a lot of us, I think, didn't even realize that. But there again, there's another truth coming out, Stephen, isn't it? We know what it stands for. You know, maritime law.
Basically. Yes.
You know that.
Yep.
And it's on every flag in every country that, well, there's not one in Syria yet. And I don't think they'll get one either because Syria is going to stay sovereign.
Hopefully.
I only see good. We're on the turn, Stephen, mate. That's the way I look at it. There is a lot of negativity, more false flags, as we know, happened recently. But things are on the turn. I feel positive.
Yeah. What do you think about what I was mentioning earlier about me and Billy was talking, Billy McGuire talking, and I mentioned to him that, you know, somebody can come out in front of a camera, whether it's President of the United States or the PM of Britain or the PM of Ireland. They can come out in front of the cameras and tell utter rubbish lies and put a stamp on it, and it'll be official.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what the mindset is. They're either, do they bring them into a room and say, like they show the, what is it, Zeebrugge thing, and say, look, any questions? I don't know. I mean, again, Stephen, I'm not going to say I've never told a lie, you know, because we all maybe did when we were a child, but worried about getting in trouble, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but did your little lies hurt anyone, or did they try to control anyone, or...
No. This is it. Their lies can be so detrimental to...
Yes, they can.
Not just their own country that they're in. It can have worldwide consequences. Yeah, big time. Yeah. I don't think we can fathom it, Stephen, can we? Because our mindset isn't like theirs.
No.
Maybe David Icke is right. Maybe they're reptiles.
You know, the more I listen to David, the more a lot of the stuff he, you know, he's out there. He's way out there. And I must admit that I'm on the fence about the reptilian thing. But I do know that a lot of the stuff he says has come true. A lot of the pedophile scandals. I left the church, Patrick, when I was 18. I left my mother's house and set out on my own, and I was raised Catholic from the age of 8 until the age of 18 when I got out of the house. So then I went to I went a different direction. I went towards just a different, other than the Catholic, anything other than that. And that's the way I went.
So, yes, basically very similar here, Stephen. I was brought up, the Irish Catholic, you know.
Sit, stand, kneel.
Yeah. And it's funny enough, today, Stephen, or yesterday, I forget, I was just thinking about, you know, when you go up and have communion, and I'm thinking, this is the body of Christ. I'm thinking,
yeah,
we were eating flesh, allegedly, of God, of Jesus.
Drinking the blood of Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, and the blood, and...
Yep. Oh. how symbolic is that? Yeah. How symbolic is that? I remember a lot of the scandals that started to come out in the late 70s and early 80s, and that's what turned me away from it. I remember some of the scandals, and I remember saying to myself way back then, Patrick, it's almost like they're recruiting gay men or something. Way back then, I thought to myself like that. And still to this day, you know, they just try to brush it under the rug and move the priest or the cardinal to some other place and try to hush it up. Still trying to this day.
Yeah, and they were, what they would usually do with a priest that was, we'll say, a naughty boy, they'd just sidetrack him, wouldn't they, to another country or another...
District, yeah.
Yeah, district. I mean, it's like... I used to work in the building trade. I still do a bit. You know, if I do the job wrong, I'm not going to get another customer, am I? Or I'm going to lose money, or...
No, you're not. No.
You're not protected by you know, the Builder's Guide Guild, are you? That, oh, don't worry, Pat, you just made a fuck up then. Doesn't matter, what you can do a few more of them. Excuse me, language, Stephen, sorry.
Yeah, you know. It's almost midnight. It's okay. Or no, I'm sorry. It's almost 2 a.m.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's back to politicians, TDs. Like you said, they just lie through their teeth. And they just, and it just flows off the tongue as if it's all true, you know, and there's no consequences.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be. Doesn't seem to be at all.
But we drive down the road with a slightly dodgy tyre, saying a blue light comes on and papers, this, that, all dodgy tyre points on your licence. You know, it's... I just got to laugh, Steve, because I sometimes I'm lost for words.
Oops, sorry about that. Yeah, I hit the wrong button there. But yeah, you are right, Joan. But still, I thought way back then that they were trying to recruit a gay man. There are a lot of gay men that, you know, would never touch a boy, would never touch a child. They just know it's wrong, too.
Yeah, that's a fallacy as well, isn't it? Where
yes.
I think, oh, he's gay, so he will interfere with, yeah. You're spot on, Stephen. Again, I would concur. I don't know, but I would like to sort of think most gay men would go with a man through, you know, consented sex between a man of his same age. You know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And
once you're over once you're over the age of 18, it's, you know, it's all okay.
Yeah,
over here,
I mean,
anyways. Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. I mean, we I'm not homophobic.
I'm not either.
It's live and let live, Stephen, isn't it? But the only thing I'm sort of slightly wary of, they seem to be pushing it big time, and maybe I'm wrong in what I'm going to say, but I will say it, as if, you know, if you're straight, as if you're the minority now, sort of thing. That's how I see it pushed very heavily, the gay rights and the... Don't get me wrong, of course we all deserve rights.
Yeah,
it just seems as if they're pushing this agenda. I don't know whether you see it like that.
But. Oh, certainly they are. Certainly. They are still trying to manipulate society in everything that they do. Well, you know, I think one of the conspiracies out there, Patrick, is the chemical attacks in just about everything that we come in contact with. The water, the food, the air. A lot of it is also meant to defeminize men, or defeminize, but feminize men.
Yeah, feminize. Yeah, I mean, again, like you could sort of go down the road. Whereas years ago, they'd often say, "Oh, big boys don't cry," you know, as if men had no emotions.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
which is wrong as well. I mean, yeah, maybe us as men are a little bit more stiff upper lipped. But at the end of the day, I cry.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. Many a time I have, Stephen.
Certainly.
You know, I'm human.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's, the way I look at it, I'm just sick to the teeth of basically us accepting this authority, i.e. church, police, army, politicians, whatever. Because I've never, again, I'm not an angel, Stephen, but from the day I was old enough to understand what's sort of right and wrong, I've led me life fairly, what's the word, upright, you know.
Yes.
Fairly clean, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
I've done the odd little bit of tomfoolery.
Well, so have I. We all have.
Yeah. Yeah. But we didn't kill thousands of people for going to war. We didn't poison other people's food. We didn't say, oh, here's some medicine, it's good for you, and it's full of poison.
Yes.
We didn't put fluoride in people's water, did we? You know.
We didn't send children off to war, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Stephen, you don't need anyone to hold your hand, do you?
No.
I don't.
No.
Sean doesn't. Everyone in PIR, you know, we're sovereign people, you know.
Do you follow Larkin Rose?
Larkin Rose, I looked at some of his stuff, Stephen, and I do like him and the way he...
You know, it comes down to a moral issue, Patrick.
Yeah.
Why do we need to be governed? Why can't we govern ourselves? I mean, people know the difference between right and wrong. people are choosing to do wrong. They can choose to do right.
Oh, of course, yeah.
We can govern ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I think 99% of us, again, we'd all rather do someone a good turn than a bad. You know, if you see someone, I don't know, struggling with their luggage, elderly person, can you give your hand with that? They say yes or no. Simple little things. Yeah. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I was just
sorry, Stephen. Yeah, none of us, we don't need anyone to hold our hand or anything. And I think more and more people are realizing, because we've had enough. Maybe this is the best thing that's happened to us, happened to humanity, because it's waking us up.
Certainly. You know, I think the internet was, I think there was a few years back, I think Senator Rockefeller, actually, he said that he kind of wished that they'd never invented the internet. But I think they actually, I know this is a bit of a conspiracy, but I think they actually invented the internet for us to make people aware.
Yeah, I think, well, it's like, Stephen, if you look into false flags, right, we know there's many of them, 9/11, 7/7, Sandy Hook, Boston, you know, we can go on and on and on. They've even told us in films about some of these, haven't they, before they happened?
Yes, they have.
In other words, they're saying, look, we've told you, if you didn't take any notice, your fault, mate. In other words, we're going to rob you or we're going to kill you. We've already told
right.
you.
That's right.
There.
You hear me say that too, don't you, Patrick?
Sorry?
I say you hear me say that a few times, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, Stephen, yeah, and you're spot on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's more and more of us are realizing that, yeah.
We're telling, they're telling us. It's right out there in plain sight. It's just a matter of who wants to listen and who wants to see it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. And I had a great, kind of nice note today. I was just popped to the shop, and as I'm heading back, there's a young lad in his thumb inside. So I said, jump in, mate. I said, where do you got to go? He said, just a couple of mile out of my way. Big deal. I'll drop him up. And within seconds, I don't know, chatted about something, and he went, oh, yeah, conspiracy stuff, blah, blah, blah. I just gave him a couple of sites, and he went, yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
And he's a young lad, about 20.
Uh-huh.
And these are the people that need to be waking up more than us, if you know what I mean. But it's spreading big time. Yeah.
Well, I think the younger people, the younger generation, that were the people that were probably born after the Second War, Second World War, Patrick, the baby boomers' children, I think there was a different spiritual presence in that, the middle of last century, middle of the 20th century. I think there was a different type of spiritual presence out there that started to appear, because there are more and more people that are aware of the system, aware of the corruption. It's just, I think that they're a little bit too afraid and a little bit too comfortable to want to do anything about it. Because statistics do show that when people lose everything, lose their job, lose their family, they go against the system, you know. And I wonder if this is almost a self-perpetuating prophecy on their part, making all these people the way we are and making people aware, almost.
Yeah, because when you've lost it all, what have you got to lose?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, again, Stephen, don't get me wrong. I count myself very lucky. You know, I built my own dwelling. Left England, had a mortgage. You know, I know what it's like to try and pay a mortgage. I've been there, but I'm the other way now. I'm lucky. I'm not saying I'm a millionaire, far from it, but I'm happy with what I've got, and I'm in a lot of better situation than a lot of people. You know, there is people out there struggling.
Yeah, certainly. Evicted,
and you can't, you still feel, you have to feel for them. I mean, I couldn't just sit back. Well, I mean, I do bits. I just pass out messages like, you know, have you heard of this? Have you heard of that? You know, that's basically word of mouth trying to spread things. But
do you know what actually got me to think more and more about doing something after I had my so-called awakening there, Patrick? I heard Alex Jones say one day, he was he's still not all that old of a man, you know, but he said it was a few years ago when his children were very young. He thought to himself, what would I say to my children if they come up and ask me, or my grandchildren someday, if they come up and ask me, Dad or Granddad, Grandpa, what did you do to try to stop what we're dealing with today? And that kind of hit me, you know. Patrick, I don't have any children myself, but if I do someday, I would know what I would say to a child if they asked me that question. What did you do to stop this? And that's what people need to ask themselves.
Yeah, this is it. Because a lot of, again, some people who will say are still not aware, will try and be politically correct. I don't care what I say, asleep, awake, what, that's just a word, you know. They sort of think, oh yeah, whatever. But, you know, it could be them tomorrow, is the way I look at it, you know.
Yes, yes.
I mean, again, I do know what it's like not to have a penny in my pocket as well. I've been there as well. You know, I've experienced that.
Yeah.
And I've experienced when I've been fairly flush, and, you know, it's.
Well, you can't enjoy the good times unless you've had the bad times, I think, Patrick.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, maybe this is the big test as well, Stephen, for our consciousness. Like, you know, how, like you say, how do we experience, know what the good is without the bad? Exactly what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I sort of question that as well sometimes. I think because. I mean, there's enough on this planet for everyone, Stephen. We all know that. The overpopulation, what a load of rubbish. I mean, I've looked at different ways of working it out. I think everyone could be in Australia. And I think part of that would still be empty. And I think you'd have like a quarter of an acre.
Yeah.
So that would leave all the US, all America, because I won't say US, because that's the corporate in it. All of America. North and South, and you know, the rest of all of Europe would be empty, so overpopulated.
Well, you know, that's it really depends on how somebody wants to look at it, whether it's overpopulated or not. There's a lot of people on the planet, over 7.5 billion people, I think, now. But as far as the math goes,
I just laughed at Joan's comment. She says, "Slim boy can half talk." Sorry, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, Dodzer was asking if it was over at 2.
Sorry, Stephen, I cut in on what you were saying there.
No, I mean, you know, the mathematics show, I think, Patrick, that everybody can live comfortably in the state of Alaska. Or, like you said, in Australia, everybody can live, I think, on a full acre of land. Every man, woman, and child on the earth.
Yeah. It's just pure baloney, isn't it? Well, basically everything's a lie, Stephen, isn't it? Like, doctors cure you. No, they don't.
Well, they don't call it a doctor's...
Basically.
Doctors are practicing medicine. Lawyers are practicing law.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten it right yet, so they're still practicing.
I wish they'd practice on someone else. Yeah. Let them. What are they could just practice on themselves, couldn't they? Like,
sure they could.
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
Yeah. We've had enough. Yeah, absolutely, Stephen. Yeah.
Well, it is past 2 a.m. over there, Patrick.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And I'm getting a little bit tired, and I'm sure you are also.
Yeah, that's. I've enjoyed it, though, Steve, and I hope I haven't bored everyone to tears.
I don't think so.
We've got to laugh, Steve, haven't we? We've got to try and joke about it, to be honest, I think. I know that people might think, it isn't a joke. I know it isn't. I hope I'm not taken up wrong like that, you know.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a surprise for the ending song for everyone, so I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to let them find out what it is.
All right then, Stephen. Talk again, mate.
Yeah, yeah. I try to get your Skype figured out, and we'll do this on the regular Skype.
Yeah, I'll have to try and, well, I think I've got to upgrade the computer, I'm afraid.
What are you working on? Do you have an old XP or something?
Oh, it's an old I'm on. It's a Dell, and I've got it's Windows.
Which one? XP or?
XP, yeah, I think it is XP.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness. Yeah. Yeah, that one's going back a ways.
Yeah.
Well, it was good talking to you, Patrick.
You too, Stephen, mate. I love your show, mate, and I like your humor. And
all right.
cheers, Stephen.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, mate. Good night.
Okay, everyone. I'm not going to spoil it there. It's another one of my favorite songs from back in the late 70s. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to let it play and everyone can figure out what it is.